The Buddha then explains that the development of faith, in the sense of emotional response to, faith in his eternal life is equivalent to the development of wisdom. Such faith, we may say, is wisdom transposed into emotional terms. And if one has this sort of faith, this sort of insight, then one will see the Buddha, realize the Buddha, experience the Buddha or Buddhahood, or the universal principle of enlightenment, will see the Buddha on the spiritual vulture's peak, eternally preaching the White Lotus Sutra. This is very much the belief of Far Eastern Buddhists. They believe that, as it were, on a high spiritual plane, the Buddha, the eternal Buddha, the universal Buddha, even now, is preaching the White Lotus Sutra. Now, the Buddha says that the merits of listening to the White Lotus Sutra are very great, and the merits of preaching it even greater. And, of course, it's very demeritorious to disparage the sutra in any way. And this warning introduces the episode of the Bodhisattva never direct. The Bodhisattva never direct, the Buddha says, lived millions of years ago. And he used to go on telling the same thing to everybody. He'd say, "It is not for me to direct you. You are free to do anything you like. But I would advise you to take up the Bodhisattva career so that ultimately you may become perfect Buddhas." So he used to go on saying this to everybody. And some of the people to whom he used to say this became very, very angry. They didn't like to be told that they were going to be Buddhas one day. That was the last thing they wanted to become. And they became so angry that they not only abused the Bodhisattva, but they fell upon him with sticks and stones and gave him a very rough time indeed. But he didn't bear them any ill will. He retreated to a safe distance. He continued to cry out, "It is not for me to give you any direction. You'll all become Buddhas." So he was nicknamed Bodhisattva Never Direct. And the Buddha went on to say that he himself, in a previous life, was Bodhisattva Never Direct. And some of his persecutors of those days were now disciples, monks, nuns, and bodhisattvas. Now the bodhisattvas, the irreversible bodhisattvas from under the earth, now also promise to protect the White Lotus Sutra and say that they will preach it throughout the whole universe. And this declaration, this promise of theirs, sparks off all manner of marvels and wonders. The Buddha fields in all the directions of the universe shake and tremble. And the inhabitants of all those Buddha worlds, all those universes and all directions of space, they look into the Sahar world, our world, and they all see it revealed. Just like looking down through the depths of the water and seeing something at the bottom. And they all see the millions of Buddhas assembled on that occasion, here in this Sahar world. They see the Buddha Shakyamuni, they see the Buddha Abundant Treasures, seated on their joint lotus throne in the midst of the stupa. And they see the countless millions of great bodhisattvas. And Shakyamuni is joyfully hailed by all the gods who strew flowers, incense, and jewels. And all these flowers, all the incense, all the jewels, they, as it were, come together in a solid mass, just like clouds massing together, and they transform themselves into a jeweled canopy. And this great jeweled canopy covers the whole sky above all those Buddhas. At this point, further marvels take place, and eventually, all the worlds in the universe, all the universes in the universe, reflect one another, just like mirrors, thousands, millions of mirrors, all mutually reflecting one another. In this way, all the universes throughout space reflect and mirror one another, so that all are seen in each one, and each one is seen in all. and all interpenetrate, like innumerable beams of coloured light intersecting, all interpenetrate without any obstruction or hindrance whatsoever, so that eventually a state is reached, a condition is reached, in which all these worlds, all these universes, with all their beings, their Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, human beings, and so on, are fused into one harmonious Buddha field, into one cosmos wherein the principle of enlightenment reigns supreme. So the Buddha then extols the merits of the sutra and finally reminds the assembly of the importance of preserving and propagating it. And the great drama then concludes. The Buddha rises from his lion throne in the midst of the sky. He places his right hand in blessing on the heads of the countless irreversible bodhisattvas, and he requests all the Buddhas present to return to their own domains, saying, "Buddhas, peace be upon you. Let the stupa of the Buddha abundant treasures be restored as before." On hearing these words, everybody rejoices. And such, in outline, is the white lotus of the real truth. Such, in outline, is the drama of cosmic enlightenment.